This morning we did some introductory work concerning the subject of friends. Our text this morning was from James, the second chapter, and verse 23. There, a very unusual thing is recorded. That being that God viewed Abraham as his friend. It seemed appropriate to take a detailed look at Abraham to see how he conducted himself, both from the negative and the positive, to have such a relationship with God. Someone that God would view in such a special way. This morning we saw that Abraham had, like you and I, his temptations. He had to overcome great wealth in order to be a pleasing to God, in order to be an example to those that he lived among. He had to overcome fear of the unknown. And even though stumbling and deceiving or lying because of that fear, Abraham rose above those sins to have that kind of reputation in the eyes of God. We saw that Abraham and Sarah, his wife, doubted the promises of God, but yet was able to overcome, even though they were sinful in their initial reaction to those pieces of information that God had given them concerning having a child. They rose above that. And then tonight, I want to start by looking at the qualities that contribute to Abraham's greatness. Not greatness as it would be in the physical, but greatness as defined by the fact that he is viewed by God as a friend. What can we learn from his life to put into our life to have that same kind of relationship with our God? First of all, Abraham had faith. I would like to share with you, first of all, a passage of Scripture that you probably can quote in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse 1. And therein we see just what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 6 of the same chapter, we see, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," that's God, "for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now I would like for you to turn to the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, and let's read beginning in verse 1 and going through verse 12. Of all of the instances of faith ever recorded in Scripture or in the physical, I contend that this action of faith by Abraham is the number one example of all history. And I believe that you and I can understand that better as we our parents and grandparents, which the preponderance of this audience is tonight. Look at Genesis chapter 22 and don't just look at the words. Put yourself in the place of Abraham. Put you and your son or you and your daughter in the place of Abraham and Isaac. It came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." Abraham said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Now take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you." I want you to just stop there and understand that better than you and I, Abraham understood what it was like to offer children as burnt offerings. The pagans of that day would heat up Molech, their god, and this image would be heated to a point from a bonfire around the image's feet, to a point where that image who had his hands outstretched would be white hot. If you deal with metallurgy, you know that there are certain colors that are associated with varying degrees of heat. This idol, this Molech, would become so hot that it approached the kind of oven that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were brought to in the days of Daniel, and their guards that brought them perished because of the heat before throwing those Hebrews into that fiery furnace. That's how hot Molech was. Now I want you to envision, if you would, taking a son or a daughter and in a system of worship, laying that son or the daughter on the arms of that image and having it just consumed with fire that fast. That's what Abraham knew about. God condemned that. But Abraham knew about that. And here God is telling Abraham that he wants him to take his son and offer him as a burnt offering. That would just fill me as a parent with panic. He knew, Abraham did, of the screams of the animals. He knew of the sacrifices of the animals and the children. And here God is commanding him to do something with his only son that would approach that kind of devastation. The next statement in this passage of Scripture, beginning in verse 3, is, in my mind, one of the more amazing things that mankind has ever done to show his faith to God. Abraham did not just get up in the morning to accomplish this faith-filled objective. He got up early. He got up early. To do what? Not to escape from God, but to take his son, his only son Isaac, and offer him as a burnt offering. When God saw that happen, do you suppose that God saw within the makeup of Abraham's personality a desire to serve God above anything that he loved on the face of the earth? How else could Abraham have done that better? He couldn't have stood up and said, okay, I'm ready. He had already said, here I am. He was like Isaiah when God called him and says, here I am. He was ready, and now he gets up early. He gets up early in the morning, he saddles his donkey and the two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place that God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Have you ever approached something in your life and you knew that you had to do it, and it took an extended period of time to get to where this cause was going to be accomplished, and you saw the finishing point of something that you were committed to do, but you just didn't want to do it? My wife's uncle was involved in the Vietnam War. He was base commander at Williams Air Force Base in Chandler, and went from there to Hanoi and became involved in some pretty rough stuff, kind of the kind of stuff that Bob talked
knows about from World War II, and Mitch knows about from Vietnam, and it's pretty rough stuff. And I remember talking to my wife's uncle about how on certain assignments that he had, he knew what the objective was, and he knew what his armor support was, but it took a great amount of courage, but when it came the time where he saw the objective, he was at the point of action. He said that was a feeling in his throat like he had never had before or since. It was just totally consuming. And Abraham, with his only son that he had spent 3 days with, 3 days is a long time, 72 hours Abraham had spent with the one that he loved, knowing that God had required him as a burnt offering, and then he sees the point. I don't know if I could have stood under that emotion. It might well, Vernon, had taken us to our knees of seeing it. All of a sudden, it's real. I would have thought that knowing Abraham's personality of fearing those things that were threatening to him, and even to the point of violating a truth to God, that Abraham would have thought during that 72-hour period, this is going to stop. I would have thought, this is going to stop. I know God. God is not going to let me go through this. And he sees the mountain, and it hasn't stopped. What we're talking about here is the kind of inside gut feeling that someone has as examined by God that results in God saying, he's my friend. That's how this relates to us. We become peripheral Christians in our society. We are not faced with Romans that are coming down on us with animals to tear us apart or to destroy our children and our mates to get us to deny Jesus Christ. We are in a placid society, and though we stand for truth, we don't face the kinds of things. But we had better be ready to, because that's what it takes for God to say, Rick, he's my friend. That's the kind of commitment that we're talking about. How do I know that? Because I know Abraham succeeded in that relationship, and I'm reading what he did in the eyes of God in the most traumatic moments that a parent could ever have. He lifted his eyes. He saw the place afar off. He said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Did you notice? Did you notice that statement of hope? I'm glad that was there. We're going to come back to you. You know what caused Abraham to believe that enough to say it? Faith. Faith that God is going to do the best for him and his family. We'll come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. He laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife,
and the two went off together. And then, just like a kid, Isaac asked the question. I wouldn't have wanted Isaac to ask me that question. My father, did you notice that Abraham responded to Isaac the same way he did to God? Here I am, my son. Isaac said, look, the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And they went off together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. Abraham built an altar there. He placed the wood on the altar. And then he tied up his son. And he laid him on the altar. We ought not to be able to read that so fast. It took him a while to tie him up. It took some strength to pick him up and to put him on the altar. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And then the angel said, from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Did you notice how he responded? The same way he responded to God when God called him, and the same way he responded to Isaac when Isaac wanted to ask about the sacrifice. And he says to the angel, here I am. We could just stop there and consider the three times in that passage where Abraham said, here I am, and show a willingness both to God and to family and to heaven's call that you and I must place in our life in order to be considered God's friend. We've got to be willing. Here I am shows a willingness, an openness. I'm ready. Do with me what you want. That's what we've got to be in relationship to God. Abraham was. And he said to Abraham, don't lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. What will you do this week? What will I do this week that will cause God to know that I love him? That's a heavy thought. I want God to know that I love him. Chances are, I will not be asked to take my son David, my only son, to Mount Moriah and tie him up and put him on an altar. But there is some way in Michelle's circumstances and in my circumstances and in Brian's circumstances, there will be some way this week where God will look, and if we are faithful, he'll say, now I know.
That's why Abraham considered, God considered Abraham as his friend. That's the main reason, I believe. Though there are other reasons that we will consider. Obedience is the second reason that we'll consider tonight. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday night, we'll consider reason three. For the fact that Abraham was obedient, I call your attention to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis and Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 8. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, the first four verses, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I'll show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham departed. Here's what Ken Lynch would have done. I first of all would have said, "You want me to go where? I haven't heard of that place. They got bugs there. I might be allergic to that place. Could you give me some references that I could Google and see what that place is like?" You know what Abraham did? He departed. You know why? Because God said to go. Chances are that Gary and I are not this week going to be called by God to go to some place we've never heard of. But I'll tell you what, we'd better be ready to go, because that's the kind of obedience that God wants. Abraham departed. As the Lord had spoken him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I will tell you, 75 years in the days of Abraham has the same number of days as 75 years in the days of Ken Leach. I am almost 75, getting closer all the time. And there is a certain amount of rigidity that is associated with this aging process. I don't like changes so much. I know where I want to eat and when. I know what waitress I want to wait on me, and I know how I want her to treat me. I got a parking place that I like, and I don't like anybody else parking there. Now, you may not be this way yet, but you're getting there. And Abraham was the same. He was 75 years old, and you know the kind of person he was. Did he have a good relationship with his family, do you think? Well, certainly he did. And he left his family, and he departed and went to this place because God said to go. And I whine around looking for reasons. Some people call excuses. And see if there's not a better way. And Abraham departed. The best thing that Vernon and I might do for the Lord is to stay here. But we better be ready to go. If that's better for God. Because that's part of what made Abraham what he was. Now I'm going to close this lesson by referring to a passage of Scripture that we had in our Bible class this morning. Chapter 12 of Romans, verse 1. Present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. That's what Abraham's doing here. He's presenting his life a living sacrifice. And what it bought him was a place of honor with God that is unlike other great men's places of honor with God. I know David was a man after God's own heart, but I am convinced that the more special relationship was Abraham, who was a friend of God. And Jehoshaphat would tell you, everybody knew it. You be a friend of God. Be a Christian. Come while we stand and sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?